Boston Loose Baseball 188. Man, do we have a lot to talk about. The Nationals got swept by the Marlins. They have lost eight straight. Davey Martinez makes a really curious postgame comment, and there are a bunch of transactions to talk about, including the promotion of Brady House to the major leagues as the Nats get ready to play the Rockies. That's all coming up on Boston Loose Baseball, episode 188, and it starts now.
Boston Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Boston Loose Baseball, episode 188. We'll talk about the Nats in freefall mode and the fact that they can't get right. Losers of eight straight, and they're making roster moves. What did we think of Davey Martinez's controversial postgame remarks about his coaches and the Nats players? And how did the Nats find a way to bury the Rockies in a four-game series that starts Monday at Nationals Park? Also, at the end of this podcast, we've attached an interview with Daniel Murphy, former great Nats hitter, talking about the art of hitting. I think you'll really enjoy that. It was one of the more entertaining interviews we've done as far as baseball goes in a long, long time. So make sure you tune in to that at the end of this podcast. But Toby, there's a lot of ground to cover before we get to Daniel Murphy, and very little of it is good. Let's just start with the state of the Nationals here. They are 11 under 500. They have very quickly gone from contending, flirting with 500 to this feels like a lost season all of a sudden. They've lost eight straight and nine of 10, and they are now a game and a half back of Atlanta for third, nine and a half out of the wild card. And more importantly, you got Davey Martinez making comments after a game where he says coaches are never at fault. It's not the coach's problem. Players have to play better. This was a disaster of a three-game series getting swept by the Marlins.
Yeah, I mean, on our last podcast, Grant, we were talking about, all right, they're going to have an opportunity, seven-game homestand, three against the Marlins, four against the Rockies. Here's your chance to kind of get back in things. And we looked at it at the end, like, what happens if it goes the other way? And I think we saw that in this series. They could still win all four against Colorado and finish 4-3, but it felt like 5-2 was at a minimum. And incredibly disappointing to see the way that they played this series, where they gave themselves chances. They look like a team that too often we've seen over the last couple of years, where they just can't come up with the timely hitting. They can't come up with the moments that you need to win ball games, and little things that compound, and then you lose ball games. And those little things compounding and losing ball games to an LA Dodgers, to a New York Yankees, you can live with those. You're not on their level. You can't have that against the Miami Marlins when they're doing stuff on the other end that they're screwing up little things to try and put you back in the ballgame. And it was seeing who can play worse baseball to lose the games. And the Nationals won that contest and lost all three games to Miami, even though Miami tried to hand you multiple of those games. And, you know, you have a shallow fly ball, more medium depth fly ball, that you could have sent a runner from third base to potentially tie the ball game. He stays there, and I get the catch 22 there of you don't want to leave James Wood on deck, but at the same point, why would you pinch run Jacob Young to not send him and be aggressive? Like, some of this stuff, Grant, it just makes no sense what they're doing, and frankly, it's inexcusable to lose three to the Marlins, and you have your ace go out there, and he struggled a little bit early and then settled in. Gave you six innings of two-run ball, quality start. You're in another ball game. You feel like maybe you can at least stop the run a little bit and stop the free fall a little bit if you can put some runs on the board to win that one. And you go, I think it was 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. It's just completely inexcusable. We're going to get to Davey's comments here in a second. To his point, the players aren't playing well. They're not coming through in these moments. I don't necessarily think that his message was great, but regardless, this just, they were three games under 500, Grant, before this started. And we're talking about, okay, you know, maybe they'll get on a run and at some point maybe we'll see them above 500. And in the matter of just over a week, we're now talking about this team like we've talked about the last 2 years where it's like, well, take a look at the, how the kids are doing, and it's not about wins and losses anymore. Suddenly it feels even worse than that because there at least felt like there was some hope. Not anymore. I mean, this is a incredibly disappointing stretch, and it's come to the point now where it's like, let's enjoy the ride for the rest of the season, because as soon as it gets outside baseball season, we'll miss it. But it feels like now it's just going to be a long slog through the dog days of summer, when it felt like maybe it would be an exciting summer for Nationals baseball, which is incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, it got late kind of early, to your point. I mean, it just was. This is such a bad stretch that you didn't have the margin of error to have. Remember, they lost seven straight at one point earlier in the season. And so because, you know, other than, you know, that week, they had been a pretty solid team, like 5-6 game over 500 team since the first week of the year. They gave themselves a chance to be close to 500. And then you add in the seven losses or now this 8-game losing streak, and you're 11 under. And when you're getting swept by teams like the Marlins, it's just a different conversation. It's one thing to go to New York, squander a lead in game one, you know, have your comeback fall short in game three. But to come home against Miami with your back against the wall, they've answered the bell all season and over the last couple of years in those spots. I think about the series early in the year when they came home, I think, against the Diamondbacks, and they were, you know, 1-6, and it felt like that with the Dodgers looming, they had to win a couple games, and they did. And that's happened throughout the season. You know, on the heels of the 7-game losing streak I referenced, they got red hot, went on a winning streak, and, you know, got right back close to 500. But for them to continue the free fall, just not only tough for fans, but I think indicative of where they're at right now. And if we just go through these games really quickly, it's four straight games now where they rallied to the point where they got right back to the brink, but couldn't come through, as you said, with the big hit. If you go back to the final game against the Mets, because remember, they were shut out for the first 8 innings on Thursday of that finale in New York. That's when they went 23 innings before they scored a run. Then the Marlins series, he had the big rain delay on Friday, but the damage was done. Mitchell Parker, who's had an ERA over 7 since April, I mean, he's been mostly awful since April. And he occasionally gives them length 5-6 innings at a time, but he always gives you the one really bad inning, makes it really hard to win. And he gave them almost no chance. But to their credit, they raked 9 runs. They came out with double-digit hits. They got right back in the game. Jose Ferreros had back-to-back bad outings, had a blow-up inning, and they lose 11-9. I was talking to someone before the series with the team, and they're like, you know, we just got to get home. We got to hit. We got to get the bats going against this team. If we score some runs, we can breathe easy. Well, you scored 9 damn runs, and you still lost the baseball game. The next day, you get a much better pitching performance, actually, from Trevor Williams. You're in that game for the duration, and you don't come through offensively. You score 3 runs, and you lose. And to your point, the Saturday game was the most painful to me. I think that was the debacle of sorts, not only because of the Davey comments after, which we'll get to, but the 9th inning, that was a bad team trying to lose a game, the Marlins. They did everything they could to give the Nats the game. They committed errors. They walked the yard. They had misplays. They didn't catch balls that should have been caught because they were hanging in the air forever. And all of this crap is happening, and the Nats are mounting this rally, and they've got all the runners on base, and everything looks good. You just have to accept the gift when you play a crap team that's trying to give you a game, and they didn't do it. You know, Josh Bell, it didn't end up mattering, but had a terrible read and had a bad base running moment on a fly ball. Moments later, you have Jacob Young, as you said, pinch running, and he should have gone. You can blame the player if you want to. I certainly think there's plenty of blame to go around. But how a third base coach isn't getting, you know, it doesn't have you ready on contact to get back to the bag on that play and run, I don't know what we're doing here. So that loss was just egregious. And then Sunday, they get shut down. You know, and it's not like they were dealing with aces or really high-end starting pitching. Yuri Perez was making his second start in a season and a half. You're getting a lot of bullpen arms from a mediocre or worse bullpen, and they just couldn't come through over and over and over again. So it's 4 runs scored over the final 2 games, which, by the way, Toby, has been the norm this month. If you take the 1 9-run game, which somehow was a loss, game one of this series, out of the equation, they're averaging less than 2 runs, about 1.9 this month, in the other 11 games that they've played now.
Yeah, it's just, it's not good enough, like we said. I mean, it's little things too that kill you, because the Saturday game, I just don't understand how Jacob Young's not going. And regardless, with Davey's comments after the game saying it's never coaching, well, then why does this team always have the worst base running decisions? That's not coaching. That's not, it's just all the players coming up with ways to just constantly make the worst base running decisions ever. That's all them? No way. Like that is on coaching. And I'm sure the players play into that. They have to make the decisions ultimately. And a lot of times, you know, you're depending on your third base coach, but you can also work with your own eyes. But what the heck is going on that Kyle Stowers, if you saw it on the broadcast, it looks a little more shallow. I saw a video from someone that was sitting on the third base side watching this game, and he was medium depth. It wasn't like it was barely into left field. This is medium depth to Kyle Stowers with one of your fastest runners on the bases, and it's played out to him. So even though it wasn't timely hitting, quote unquote, you at least gave yourself a chance. And then JY just stands there, and I don't get it. And it looks worse because the throw goes up the line and he probably would have scored. But I also don't understand why you're not being aggressive in that situation when you're aggressive all the time getting thrown out on the base paths. You're aggressive when you don't need to be. You're conservative when you should be aggressive. Base running has just been horrendous for years, and it continues there. And then on Sunday's game, you really didn't put yourself in a position to win. But then you get to Davey makes a change in the lineup, right? CJ Abrams goes from batting leadoff to batting third. And it's one thing that you always bring up. You get frustrated with some of the variation in the lineup. He doesn't do that a whole lot. Generally, it's been Abrams, Wood, 1-2. But think about the situation that you got into because you moved Abrams out of the leadoff spot, Grant. Alex Call is up in the bottom of the ninth inning with a runner on first base down by two runs. And first of all, if it's on Alex Call, why the heck are you squaring to bunt to start that at-bat? What good does a bunt do? You're going to sacrifice? You think you're going to beat it out and get on base? If you have that little confidence that you're going to get a base hit, why are you hitting in the lineup?
By the way, wasn't it 2-0 and he squared to bunt?
I just don't understand what the heck he's doing. Don't give away a strike. You work good at-bats. That's your quality. You should be working for a walk. That's what you're best at. But think about this. CJ Abrams could have been in that spot. Davey tried to do something different in the lineup. We're going to get on Davey plenty in this pod. Regardless, he makes the decision to move him out of the leadoff spot and could have been CJ there. Instead, he grounds into a double play and you leave James Wood in the on-deck circle. It's just stuff like that that piles on. And it's one thing when you lose to a good team and you feel like you're trying to learn how to win ball games and you got to get to that point. You know, if this is the Dodgers, if this is the Braves, if this is, well, the Braves haven't even been that good this year, but if it's the Phillies or someone like that, and it's one of the best teams in baseball and you're trying to figure it out, maybe you can live with it a little bit. You say, oh, it's growing pains. And I go back to this with Mackenzie Gore. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago and I asked him about that. Like, how do you go from being the team that has good results and has good numbers but doesn't win ball games to winning at this level? And he said, you can't beat yourself. This team has beat itself so much in this 8-game losing streak, and it's something that's become a hallmark a lot over the last couple of years about how this team consistently on the bases with little things doesn't play winning baseball, and the talent has improved. And you can't tell me, like, as much as people want to blame there's not enough talent on this team, I don't disagree with you, but that's not the case against the Marlins, and you just got swept by them. Incredibly disappointing to see how this season has gone from being, all right, let's have a little bit of fun, to, all right, I'm out. Like, in a matter of just over a week, I think a lot of Nats fans are incredibly frustrated to the point that, you know, it's only not even halfway through the season and it feels like it's about done.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, before this losing streak, right, you go back, fast forward, or rewind, I guess is how that would work, 8 games ago. I think you could make the case with the Nats at 30-33. Now that was, yeah, 8 games back. So at 30-33, I think you could say that was one of the higher water marks of the last 4 years. And I don't mean record wise, but with the kids playing the way that they were, James Wood on fire, competing in games and series with teams like Chicago, hanging right around 500. I think that was probably about as close as they felt and as good as things have gone in this last 4-year sequence, right? 8 games later, this feels like rock bottom over the last 4 years, as far as I'm concerned, since the sell-off, right? So 2021 is when they started moving pieces. I don't count 20, the pandemic year, which was a bad year, disappointing, 8 under .500, but for a million reasons, it was kind of a fiasco. So 2021, which was not the expectation of being bad, but that's when the rebuild began. So if you're an Nats fan, you're in 5 seasons now of this now, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. And this week has probably been, I'm not saying the team is the worst that it's been, because it's not, but this is the worst that it's been as a fan, I think, because you were sold this idea that they were ready to win. Again, I didn't buy it. I believe in actions, not words. But a lot of people did, and I can't fault them. When someone tells you something, it's okay to listen to them and trust them. And they said, you know, we're ready to win. They hadn't done that over the last few years because it was the offseason where they should have spent and they didn't, which I haven't forgiven and a lot of people haven't. And I've now changed my overall opinion on whether they'll ever spend again. And I think people have as well. But for those reasons, the walls caving in here over the last 8 have just been infuriating. And the Marlins were supposed to have been the, all right, you got a life raft here. And the opposite happened. So this buried you. And it's, it's not ever as bad as it feels at a time like this. Just like it probably wasn't as good as it felt like it was when they got back close to .500 on winning stretches a couple of times. But it stinks right now. You know, losing is terrible. Rebuilding is not fun. And it felt like they were at a place where now, 8 days later, you know, they're not anymore. And as you said, we're about to maybe have to deal with them playing out the string for the next 3.5 months of the baseball season. But Toby, let's get into the Davey Martinez comments before we go any further, because we've already gone long enough without talking about this. This is the big story of the weekend. This is what Davey Martinez said postgame.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I think you guys haven't produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching?
Never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches. Okay, they work hard. The message is clear. All the work is done prior. Sometimes they got to go out there and they got to play the game. You know, it's always been about the players. Always. You know, I played this game a long time. Never once have I blamed the coach for anything. I mean, we worked our asses off to get better. They gave us information and we used it. These guys understand what the game is, man. These coaches, I never had such a group of coaches that worked as hard as they do. I mean, they're here freaking diligently. They go over everything. They sit players every day. These coaches, they work their asses off. So, and I know every coach's staff is like that. So, sometimes, and the players know. Sometimes, you got to put the onus on the players. They got to go out there and they got to play the game and play the game the right way. You know, we can't hit for them. We can't catch the balls for them. We can't pitch for them. We can't throw strikes for them. They got to do that.
So, look, the question wasn't directly, are you going to make a change to your coaching staff? But obviously, that was kind of the idea behind it. The Wolves are at the door, and everybody wants some blood, and there needs to be a change made, according to the fan base. And the media is coming to the realization that this thing's not working, so what are you going to do differently? And are the coaches at fault? Is there somebody that could be blamed for this? What was your take on what Davey said before I get into mine?
Well, I think Davey, I understand his message. He said it very poorly. And this is where you have to be careful saying never and always. How could it never be coaching? It's never coaching. Never. Not when you make a horrible send at third base. Not when your hitters consistently have bad approaches. Not when it's never coaching. That's where the issue is. Sometimes we overrate how much of a role the hitting and pitching coach has. Ultimately, they have to go out and execute. But how could it never, ever, ever be coaching? And look, he goes out and says, we work our butts off. Grant, if I was hired as the hitting coach, I'd work my butt off. I could be there 20 hours a day. These guys wouldn't get any better. I don't care that you work your butts off. I'm glad you do. That's part of the job. But That doesn't, it's results. It's a results-based business. Like, that's how it works. When you get into professional sports, it's a results-based business. When you get into your regular job, it's a results-based business. If you suck at your job, it doesn't matter how hard you work at it if there aren't any results. Like, so I'm glad you're working hard. I don't disagree that they're probably working hard. And Jim Hickey and Darnell Coles, they might be the hardest working hitting coach and pitching coach in the league. The results haven't been there, though. So I get his point, but it sounds horrible because he tried to clarify things with Andrew Golden before the game on Sunday and basically said, you know, hey, I wasn't trying to blame the players, and look, I'm never going to blame the coaches. Well, who the heck are you blaming then, Davey? You just saying that it's no right. one?
Like, well, I'll get to the Andrew Golden stuff in a moment, but here's my thought on kind of what he said. First of all, the timing couldn't be worse. You've just lost right. at that time two straight to the Marlins, 7 in a row overall. It's the rock bottom moment of your season, obviously, before you got swept one day later. And so you can't have the foot in your mouth moment there. Like, there's times where you could say something stupid or misspeak or say something you don't really mean or just have the really bad snafu, and nobody would care, Toby, because you got a winning streak going or you're playing okay or it's just a normal day. That was not a normal day. It was a dreadful loss. It was one of the – in fact, it was one of the few times all year where I've got people on my phone texting me left and right, has Davey spoken yet? I can't wait to hear what he says about the no send. Like, what is he going to say about the coaching staff? What is he going to say about the losing streak? So people were super plugged in and actually tuned in for one of the few times all year post game, because what he said is actually going to matter, that the stakes were higher. And he had his worst moment of the season, and honestly, maybe one of his worst moments at the mic as the manager of the team. Now, what he said was bad. It was dumb. He shouldn't have said it, right? I co-sign anyone who thinks otherwise. I think is wrong. It was a foolish comment. To say that it's never on the coaches is not a thing. That's not reality. It's not true. And it was also really surprising to me because Davey is a player backer. Davey is a former player. Like, who has defended more bad players over the years than Davey Martinez? So who has true. Defended more bad plays by mediocre players over the years than Davey Martinez? Like, that's why I was so shocked, because Davey is, and will again, I'm sure, in the very near future, a guy that will stand there and take the bullets for his players over and over and over again. I think what he was doing there was trying to do the same thing for his coaching staff. And by doing that, the players get thrown under the bus. Now, as you said, he told Andrew Golden, I didn't say anything about the players. I didn't say it was their fault. I didn't say the play. But, well, you kind of did. I mean, we could read the comments if we need to. But you said it's not the coaches and the players have to play. What you're saying is the coaches can't make the plays for them. You're throwing the players under the bus. But it was very, very rare for him, because he has been so defensive of those guys for so long. But they're normally the ones under the microscope. And in this case, he knows, you know, coaches and managers, they pretend like they don't hear things and know what's going on, whether it's listening to the radio or seeing the TV clips or getting the newspaper. I don't know what Davey follows, what's part of his briefing and what isn't, but he's got a good PR staff. He knows what's being said. He knows that people, even by just being around the game forever, you have feel for these things. It's really bad right now. People want blood. And so when he gets that question, I think he went into full mama bear mode, where he's basically saying, I'm not firing anybody. It's not their fault. You're barking up the wrong tree. The problem was, it was not perceived that way as much as it was anti-player, because it came off that way, and the just the nuts and bolts of the comment are. And so it was a really bad look, period, at a terrible time. And yeah, there's guys in the clubhouse that didn't like it. I mean, I know that for a fact, that it did not go over well. I don't think they were having meetings and conversations, according to some of the reporters that were there on Sunday, with Mike Rizzo and some of the people that were in the clubhouse that aren't always, for no reason, right? Davey said he addressed the players. That tells you a lot, too. He obviously thought he put his foot in his mouth if he had to say something to them before the game. So to me, that comment was not the reason why anything should be done. What I'll say about the Davey Martinez job security right now, because I think that's kind of the million-dollar question. Should he be fired? Should someone be fired? Number one, this is the kind of stretch where someone loses their job. So it would be absolutely reasonable if Davey or a hitting coach, Darnell Coles, or a third base coach, Ricky Gutierrez, or anybody else were to lose their job right now. it would make perfect sense. You want to be over 500 and said you expect to be, that you expect to compete this year, and you're 11 under 500 and your season's spiraling out of control. We've seen terrible teams like the Rockies and bad teams that were supposed to be a little better than they were, like the Pirates and some other teams even just this year.
Orioles.
Teams that weren't supposed to make the playoffs, you know, fire coaches. We've seen bad teams that were supposed to be good, way easier to do, the Orioles, make a move, right? But my point is, like, this is absolutely now, for a couple of years, people, every time they start losing, I go, this is ridiculous. When people are saying, you got to fire this guy, that guy, Davey deserves to lose his job. I probably wouldn't fire him because I don't really believe in the in-season firing for a rebuilding team. Like, what's going to happen? You're going to win more baseball games and win 79 games instead of 74 because, you know, somebody got a fire lit under them. How does that really help you in the grand scheme of things? I'm not really sure. So just philosophically, it's just not the thing that I would do. But what I would do is I would say to Davey, something's got to happen here, buddy. You need to make a change. You pick who you want to go, but something's got to give. And I would just say the coach that's had the worst run of it, and I think they've been dreadful running the bases, and I think they've been abysmal at getting thrown out at home plate. I mean, it makes you miss Bob Henley, for God's sakes. So for me, that would probably be the move. But does something need to happen? Maybe not. I mean, should something happen? This is the time when it normally would. That's kind of how I feel about it. But after that comment, with a sweep of the Marlins, with 8 straight losses, I think people who are saying anything like, oh, it's ridiculous for fans to call for a change, or, you know, fans are so fanatical, and the kind of thing that I would be dismissive and say, just, you know, a week into a season when somebody wants to fire someone, that is gone now. Like, we are now in the range of what I think it's past, like, reactionary to say that's on the table. And I hope for Davey's sake that they have a much better series against the Rockies, because let's be honest. I mean, if you lose 3 or 4 to Colorado, how do they not do something?
Correct.
And I don't mean Davey per se. It could be. I don't know. But again, I go back to, I wouldn't make the Davey change. I don't know how much that helps you, but I would shake something up. It would be a member of the staff, a couple members of the staff. You have to do something if you keep losing, and especially, Toby, when you're losing to terrible teams.
So my thing with Davey is, I've been a defender of him in the sense that I'm not a fan of how he manages ball games. I frankly have never been a fan of how he manages ball games, with maybe the exception of the 2019 postseason, because I feel like we always have to preface that. Like, I'm not necessarily a fan of what he does, but I think that 19 postseason, I'm not sure there's another manager that could have managed it better. So he did a heck of a job, and he'll always deserve credit for it. He'll always get credit for it because he's always going to have a ring here. But I've always been a fan of the way that he managed the clubhouse, the way that he backed his guys. He was someone that if I was a professional baseball player, I would have loved to have played for Davey Martinez, because you know he's always going to have your back. Those comments after Saturday's game weren't Davey Martinez, or weren't the Davey Martinez that I've known since he's been here. That's not the Davey I know. The Davey I know would have said, hey, we just got to get the ball, hit the ball up the middle. We got to, you know, we're just in a bit of a slump right now. We'll get things figured out. We'll go 1-0 tomorrow, right? Like, that's the Davey that you always know. That's the Davey that you got sick of hearing. That's the Davey that was preaching the same sort of message in 2019 that helped the team turn around, frankly.
That's a good point.
That's what I think he's always been so good at. I don't know what happened.
He kind of commended that, and he's always had the locker room.
He's always been great at that. And that's why I don't
know. Clubhouse, because he's so positive and the same guy.
Yes.
And that was the compliment. I wrote a story for The Athletic. I'd have to find it, but it was a few years ago, and talked to dozens of people, right? And I don't know how many ended up making the piece, but it was players, it was coaches, it was all kinds of folks. And basically, the bit on Davey was, he's the most positive guy ever, and he's the same guy every single day. Like, it's very predictable. You almost know what he's going to say. And that was both. It was neither of those things. You know what I mean? He really went off script there.
And that's why I don't know. I don't think Davey went into that. Like, he initially heard the question about coaching and, like you said, kind of went to defend his coaches. And I think in turn accidentally opened up his players to shrapnel. And then he had to kind of try to fix things. So I don't think Davey was thinking, let me go into this and throw the players under the bus because I think they suck. No, he's not doing that. That's not Davey. I think Davey still is the same guy. But the issue that I have, Grant, is I've been a fan of how Davey can help the young guys along as a mentor, as a former player. He's always a great leader. He's someone that's very positive and keeps the guys upbeat. But I've hated how he manages ball games. Well, if he just lost the clubhouse, or at least part of the clubhouse, and you're going to have to re-win some of that back, and I'm not a fan of how you're managing ball games, then what exactly do you do here? Like, I'm not saying fire him now, but if you're not going to give me the upbeat and every single time I walk in there, the guys, even though they've lost eight straight, their heads are still up and they're still plugging away. And, you know, they may be a little bit more serious, but they're still keeping the vibes high. If I'm going to walk into the clubhouse and that's different with Davey, then what exactly is he providing? Because I don't think he's a top tactical manager in baseball. And, you know, we can argue about how much does a manager actually impact a game or not, whatever. But I like Davey. I think he's been great for this team when he's been here. Maybe not in terms of wins and losses, but I don't think the rosters have been great. But I think he's helped this team along. But those comments were so un-Davey-like that clearly it's gotten to him. It's gotten to the coaching staff. It's gotten to the club. And I don't know what move needs to be made, but something has to be done, because we can argue about the coaches. They're not going to get rid of all the players, Grant. Like, that's the reality of it. Like, the fans are frustrated. You know, they're going to get frustrated with the questions that are getting asked by the media just doing their jobs. And so someone is going to have to take the blame. Someone's going to have to take the fall for it. And it's not going to be 26 men on the roster that just suddenly gets into AAA and you call up Rochester. That's not how this works. So whether it's a third base coach, whether it's Davey, whoever it is, something needs to change. And maybe there are multiple moves going into the Rockies series. Are there quote-unquote changes? And if they can jumpstart things and win a couple against the Rockies, hopefully win all four against the Rockies, and you go on the road, maybe they can just say, oh, we'll just leave that in the past. But if you keep this losing streak going against the Rockies, who, by the way, beat the Braves, scoring 10 runs on Sunday, then you're going to be in some dire straits and something's going to have to change.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an unforced error for me. That's what it is. I think he snapped at the question, and he answered it really badly. It should have, you know, you can't use the word never when you're talking about who's at fault. It's never on the coaches, with him being one of the coaches, and essentially you're saying we're never at fault. You know, when you say that, then the obvious takeaway is that it's on the players, and it's an easy thing to say. Do it, what he's always done, what he's always said. It's on all of us to turn this thing around. But where I give him grace on this is the 1,000 times that he has said the opposite and basically defended the players doesn't mean that he gets a pass for all of the maddening things that happen in game or whatever else from me. But I mean, he's on the hot seat. There's just no way around it. I mean, how hot is it? Before we move on, like 1 to 10, 10 means Mike Rizzo walks down and says, hey, I've enjoyed our time together, but I got to make the move. 1 is they're signing him to an extension. You know, where is he right now?
8. Eight. Because
I think
that might be a little high, but I mean, we still haven't seen how this Rockies series goes.
Look, I think if they have a bad time with the Rockies, then it's a 9, 9.5.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I would say 7.5 probably. And that's just here's the other thing to remember, twofold. 1, he and Rizzo are very, very close. Now, Mike's close with Johnny DePuglia, who's no longer in the organization, and Chris Klein. You know what I mean? Like, business is business. I get that. But I think whatever leash you would he would have with any GM, it's going to be a lot longer with Mike Rizzo because of their past and the championship. And then 2, this ownership group doesn't pay people not to work, right? Like, how many people are getting paid to work what they're supposed to get paid? So this idea that, like, they're going to blow him out. Now, obviously, I don't think anybody's getting a raise the rest of the way. So you could say that the money isn't, you're not hiring someone to come in per se that's going to make a lot of money. But my point is, just the idea of, like, paying someone to not be at work is probably not a thing that they want to do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you look at, you know, what they could do, and does it make sense to move on midseason, like you said, with a rebuilding ball club? I don't know that it does, because I think for some of the young guys, like for a veteran like a Nathaniel Lowe or someone that's been around the block like a Josh Bell, firing a manager midseason, I don't think interrupts their flow at all. They've been around the block. They get it. But for a guy like a James Wood, Brady House about to make his debut, Dalen Lyle coming up, Robert Hassel if he's here, Dylan Cruz when he gets back. Do you want to change the voice in there when you've got so many young guys? You know, Brad Lord out of the pen, Cole Henry. Like, maybe you just stick with it. I think the thing that I am saying, if I'm Rizzo, is Davey, obviously we can't have those kinds of comments again. We need to figure out how to rebuild the trust with whoever you lost that with in the clubhouse, because I'm sure there are some. You need to work hard on that, and we'll reevaluate at the end of the season, because you won in 19. You're always going to get that respect, and I think because of that, maybe he gets himself a little extra time. But I don't know that it makes sense to fire him in the middle of the season, but I do think his seat needs to be hot, and he needs to understand that. You can't just continue to go about things the way that things have gone. And again, maybe it's just something that Davey misspoke, or he just got frustrated the one time, and unfortunately it was in front of the media, in front of the cameras with a microphone, and all of a sudden it ends up in this firestorm of things. But that's kind of that's what comes with the job. You have to be careful about what you say, and you need to be, you know, on guard. And unfortunately, after the game on Saturday, it didn't go Davey's way. But yeah, I think it got to me, Grant, the 8-game losing streak sucks. It's horrible. When you add in the Davey thing, that's where it goes to another level. That's why this feels totally different than before. We've seen them lose 6-7 in a row before, but Davey was always upbeat. When suddenly your manager feels like he's feeling the heat too, to the point that he's always been Mr. Positive and now he's not, I think that's where it kind of leads to levels that we've never seen before.
Totally. And you worry about the clubhouse, as you said. You know what I mean? Like, you worry about that's his whole magic sauce. That's his whole specialty is keeping those guys tight knit and together.